VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And thank you for joining us on Crosstalk today. Ladies and gentlemen, this week, Mike Lindell is hosting a cyber symposium in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, where he's released evidence of massive voter fraud that he and a team of forensic experts have amassed since the November 2020 election. Previously, he's released documentaries, including Absolute Proof and Absolute Interference, which have been watched by multiple millions around the world. Well, covering this event, Brandon House, president of WVW Broadcast Network, host of the Worldview Weekend Radio and Worldview Weekend Hour television program. He is an avid researcher, author of several books, including Marxianity, Coming Religious Right, Twisted Scripture, Twisted Theology, Grave Influence, and many others. He's producer of the documentary Siege and Sabotage. He is on the scene right now. Brandon, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Jim.
First of all, if you would describe this scene, tell us about the symposium, what type of people are presenting, and what type of people are attending.
Well, thank you. It is in Sioux Falls, South Dakota at the Military Alliance Center, which is a beautiful facility for veterans and active military. It's a highly professional, state-of-the-art building with lighting, staging, has a firing range for the veterans. It has a cafe. It's got a movie screening room where they can screen. It has a library. It's really a remarkable facility, and it has been set up with round tables with black tablecloths. And at those tables are elected officials and cyber experts. To get into the cyber symposium, you had to be an elected official. You had to be either a cyber expert with certain credentials that were verified, and or part of the media. And so there's also at the back of the room a two-tier long black platform, and on those two tiers are media. Among the cameras are two of our cameras, and then another one of ours up above in one of the VIP rooms, like skyboxes, shooting down. And then we have two more on the floor. So we're running five cameras here from WVW Broadcast Network, producing this production for television, and then shoving out the live feed at frankspeech.com, lindelltv.com, One America News. If any of the media outlet are carrying this live feed, they're likely carrying it from us if you're seeing five camera shots. If it's coming from someone like Right Side Broadcasting, they're shooting with one camera in the back of the room. Some other media outlets are shooting with one camera. But if you're watching like One America News, all of that is coming from our WVW Broadcast Network production company that has been contracted on ground to produce this for television and put it out to the media.
So you're providing technical services,
yes,
like as a production company?
Yes, we've been contracted as a production company.
And so, okay, are we seeing Fox News there, NBC, ABC, CBS, or MSNBC, any of them there?
Not that I've seen. I've not seen any of them. There was word that CNN was going to be here with some reporters. I cannot verify that I've seen any of them. I'm seeing Right Side Broadcasting, Gateway Pundit. We see a lot of the conservative outlets. Newsmax has been picking up some of the feed. Of course, we have been providing the feed with One America News. We've been working with One America News since January. We have a contact there we work with, including the owners, but we work directly with one of the guys in the control room, and I talk with him multiple times a day, and have been since January. So many of the productions that we have done, Absolute Proof, Absolute Interference, Scientific Proof, when we produce those, then I immediately turn around and work with One America News to have them broadcast. There's many other events we've done, and we directly work with. So we are contracted to do this and then turn around on behalf of Mike Lindell and then put this out to the media outlets. He said, hey, these are the approved outlets we want you to work directly with and make sure that they're getting the feed, and that's what we do.
And I understand there's been great effort from the very beginning to stop this feed, that keep these streams from getting out there. Tell us what's going on.
We began on Tuesday morning when the event started to get 404 errors. The company that we contract with for Content Delivery Network Company, CDN, as it's called, was under attack. We were aware this could happen, but it did happen to the point that we were buffering. In fact, we found out about it because One America News contact called my cell. And said we're buffering in the control room, and so we couldn't see it on our end because certain people were getting through. Other people started looking on their phones. The feed was fine for them. Then we started getting complaints from other people they're having. So what happens is your servers start to fill up. Certain people are getting the feed. Others aren't, and it becomes an issue of being overloaded. So again, some could get it, be fine, others not. Well, we were very concerned, of course, if the big one of the big outlets in the country, One American News, is having a problem. So we immediately had to shut that feed down and go to another feed. We were offline maybe 10 minutes while we brought up and negotiated on the fly with someone else that we had as a backup. We had multiple backups, but we had to let them know we were moving and to start expecting what was going to be for their systems massive amounts of traffic. At one time, over 1 million streams going, and then we went up above that. So then we would flip back to the other company that we have the long-term relationship with, and then wham, they get hit again. And as I was on the air a while ago, I got notified by our team by text that today, right now, we are undergoing the largest attack we've seen in the 3 days to keep this stream and this feed going out to the country.
Well, and that's very interesting, Brandon, because there is, you know, this is just science fiction. This is buffoonery.
Yeah. And so why interrupt?
Exactly. So why the attack to stop this information from getting out there?
Exactly.
Well, we're going to share some of the unique developments that unfolded even first thing this morning. But before we get to that, I'd like you to discuss a video that was released at the symposium. It features a retired U.S. Army Colonel Phil Waldron, a shocking nearly 23-minute production entitled Your Wake-Up Call. Give us a word about this. I mean, this thing is really shocking.
Yeah, it really is. In fact, I was asked, do you want to produce this for the event? And I said, I would like to, but I don't have time. Just doing my radio show every day, 2 hours of TV live every night, and then working on getting ready for filming this and broadcasting this, I just said there's no way in the next 7 days I could put that together. Can you please find someone else? They did. I believe the guy is actually out of California. He did a superb job, fabulous job. It's called Your Wake-Up Call. It shows the connection of George Soros, China. I mean, it is, everyone should watch it. It's at frankspeech.com. They can download it. We put a download link button on it because we wanted people to download it. We don't care if they download it and then re-upload it to their website if they're looking for some traffic. We just want it out.
Brandon, one of the real eye-openers, you mentioned the name of George Soros, but, I mean, this reveals he's a Hungarian Jew that really betrayed the Jewish people by confiscating their property.
He was 14 years old, if I remember correctly. He went around and with his handler, I guess his father, of course, put him with his handler to try to hide out, and he went around with this man confiscating the property of the Jews. We have him on video that we've showed so many times over the years where he is asked by 60 Minutes, if he feels bad about this. He doesn't feel bad about this at all. He's asked, do you believe in God? No, I do not. This is, I mean, I don't know how to say it. This is, I believe, a very, very, very evil man. I believe this would be what Romans would describe as someone who is dark and hearted, who has suppressed the truth and unrighteousness, and whose conscience has been seared as with a hot iron. He's probably one of the most evil people on the planet. But not just him. Who allows him to do what he does? Why is he allowed to get away with it with impunity and do the things he does? So it's the people around him.
And I took the exact quote from his statement. He said this, I cannot and do not look at the social consequences for what I do. That's a remarkable statement, Brandon.
It is, and that's the kind of things you would hear from a tyrant or a dictator whose conscience has been seared. And through that we see a massive, massive atrocities that have happened throughout the world and through history because of people that have that kind of seared conscience.
He was asked point blank, do you believe in God? His response was no. And I said out loud, I said, you will someday.
Yeah,
he will someday. Brandon, many would argue that he is out, George Soros, to destroy our nation. Other countries have actually banned him. Is that correct?
That's exactly right. And then, of course, you know, people say, well, George Soros, he's so yesterday. Well, you know, he's still there. He laid the foundation. He's doing more. He's funding. Many of these district attorneys we have today are funded by him. Many of our secretary, he had that for years ago, as you know, Jim, I'm sure you covered it too, the Secretary of State's project where he was helping to elect the Secretary of State because it doesn't matter who votes, it matters who counts the votes. So he's been at this for a long time, and now we have district attorneys being put into place in cities to go after the Second Amendment, to go after the First Amendment, to put in hate crime laws. You know, George Soros is using his money to put people into law, into power, to use the law to criminalize being a Christian, a constitutionalist, or a conservative.
And he's putting into power district attorneys who are letting rioters and protesters that are pushing this leftist social agenda completely off the hook.
No, he absolutely is. And again, who are they setting up? They set up Christians or conservatives or constitutionalists who, in some cases, are just defending themselves, like the couple in St. Louis. That was supposedly a Soros-connected prosecutor going after them, even though that Antifa mob crowd was talking about killing them, raping his wife, reportedly, and other violent threats against them. And, of course, he would get his gun out to protect himself and his property and his wife. But who goes after them is a prosecutor who is highly political. Of course, thankfully, the governor of Missouri pardoned them last week.
Another quote from Soros: the main obstacle to a stable and just world is the United States. And really, the U.S. is in his crosshairs, it appears to me.
Absolutely, because, if you know, as Ronald Reagan said, the America is the shining hill in the city. We're a beacon of light to the world for freedom. And if the light goes out here, it goes out everywhere. This is a quote that Mike Lindell has memorized and uses a lot. So, yes, they've got to bring down America. For the Great Reset, Jim, they have to bring down America. Mm-hmm. The Europeans have been trying to get a hold of our system, the Financial Stability Board, other things that happened in 2008 under the administration of George W. Bush. And George W. Bush signed many things that helped turn a lot of our financial controls over to European-based organizations like the Financial Stability Board and other things that start getting their hands on our country and our finances. And Europe and the Europeans have been trying to get a hold of America for a long time. So you're going to see a Eurocentric world government. And to go into this new world order, their words, not mine, or global governance or the Great Reset, they cannot have America being this capitalist free market system, because as we go down, then New Zealand, Australia, we those countries are now already under attack. New Zealand is close to being taken over by China. We know Canada is close to being taken over by China. But Australia is one of the countries, I guarantee you, Jim Schneider, if you go and you check your feed, you'll find Australia is one of the leading countries that streams VCY America,
yes,
TV
yes,
30.
Yeah.
And I don't know what's going on in Australia, but it is consistently the second country next to America watching us. Why are they doing that? Because they know as goes America, so goes their country.
Yeah. Brandon House with us today, live from the CyberSite Symposium, Sioux Falls, South Dakota. And just to close up the Soros aspect right now, it's no wonder when Newt Gingrich was being interviewed by Fox News and brought up Soros, they said, let's leave George Soros out of it. Let that, you know, it's nothing to do with what we're talking about, but Newt knew otherwise.
And by the way, Jim, I literally, as you're talking, I'm getting a screenshot from one of our lead chief technology officer. Literal screenshot of the graph. Each peak is a rush of connections slash attacks, something we did not experience the last 2 days. And I actually have a screenshot of these peaks of this attack, trying to bring our feed that we're producing literally right behind me. Our team at WBW Broadcast Network is producing. This is the attack trying to bring down the stream we're producing behind us.
Another item pointed out in this wake-up call really is communist China, and they have desired long time to take out the U.S. I mean, it's the influence over educational institutions, over Hollywood actors, even over sports figures.
Yes, and I am now, I don't have the information to release yet, but I am trying to verify some things I've received from people active in the Department of Defense. They're active. I have to keep them obviously protected or they would lose their job. But they have come to me with information about China and them cyber hacking on some of our military stuff, which should be no surprise. Sure. But they're bringing me specific information about specific targets that have been under attack by China. So why would we think they're not attacking our elections?
Brandon House with us live from Sioux Falls, South Dakota at the Cyber Symposium that was called for by Mike Lindell. We're going to take a quick break here and come back and look at further what is some of the information that's being uncovered this week at the Cyber Symposium, and a very riveting announcement that came from Mike Lindell this morning. We'll be back in a minute. This is Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and creation researcher with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, how old are the glaciers of Greenland?
You know, Chris, the glaciers of Greenland are many thousands of feet thick, leading many to conclude that it would take long periods of time for the snow to build up. Well, here's something to think about. Two American planes from World War II had to be abandoned on a Greenland glacier. Some 50 years later, a group went back to try and find and restore those now rare aircraft. It turned out they were buried beneath 250 feet of solid ice. Obviously, it doesn't take many thousands of years to build up that huge thickness. The expeditioners retrieved one of those planes and have now restored it, and it can be seen at air shows around the country. Chris, when we see this plane fly, we can enjoy the fact that this is just another evidence that the Back to Genesis truth of creation is accurate.
For more on creation, visit our website at www.icr.org.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America, talking about the Cyber Symposium going on right now in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. As we speak, Brandon House is there covering the issue. Brandon, there's so much to talk about, and I know this has been going, this is now in the third day. What do you believe is some of the most critical information that's shared at the symposium? Maybe some of the eye-openers for the legislators and others that are in attendance at this?
Well, I think one of the biggest eye-openers is a whistleblower that came in from Colorado. She is a county clerk, and she was flying over here on a private plane, and while she was flying over here, apparently, as the story is in the media, and as she told the platform, from the platform, the Secretary of State, with a DA and a search warrant, went in and raided her office while she was en route, and apparently, without her staff and the acting county clerk being there, went in. They wouldn't let them be in the room. They went in, the government officials, reportedly also with a Dominion official or Dominion representative, and were in there for several hours and doing something to the computer system. Now, apparently and reportedly, a white hat hacker, someone, had to get a hold of this and screenshots of what her computer looked like before and what her computer system looked like after, and there were data logs that were removed. And this was presented yesterday extensively from the platform, and that should be all over the news. Okay, so they can mock packet captures, and I've said before, I don't know I wouldn't know a packet capture from a hot pocket, but they could make all the noise they want about Mike Lindell's information related to packet captures and that kind of thing, but there's been 99.9% of the stuff presented has had nothing to do with that particular information that the cyber people in the two rooms were going to be reviewing. But where's the media on this county clerk who I think they just raided her home yesterday? So after she's been here, and by the way, Mike had been announcing for 24 hours, as he did on my TV show on Monday night, that at about 7 o'clock Central Time on, what was last night? The night before. Was that Tuesday night that she announced that? So was that Tuesday night or Wednesday night? It was Tuesday night. So Monday night, when I was in here for 2 hours, we were announcing that on Tuesday night, 7 p.m., we would have a big announcement. Well, apparently that was going to be the big announcement because she went on at 7. But prior to that, we saw her come in from the backstage, go to a room to get ready, and there was a few hours there we were not sure she was going to present. That she was being intimidated, threats, all kinds of stuff that made her like, this is maybe not what I should be doing. But after getting on the ground, getting talked to and visiting with her representative, her attorney, I'm told, then she decided, all right, I'm going in. And so she did. She presented. She went live. She went back home. Apparently her home has now been raided is what we're being told. Mike announced that from the stage. You'll hear that in the clip we're going to play. And but the reality is they're now trying to say she did something wrong. She did something wrong with the security of the machines. So now apparently they're trying to set her up, and this poor woman could be looking at potentially criminal charges. So we're in a position where anyone that's a conservative, a patriot, they could be a Democrat even, who just says, I want free and fair elections. And if they get in the way, they can flip this narrative, put stuff on your machine, do all kinds of things. All of a sudden now you're fighting to stay out of jail.
Wow. Amazing, folks, what is happening right now at the Cyber Symposium and the efforts made to discredit individuals there, made also to stop the stream of information getting out there. Now, Brandon, we're going to play this audio clip. Set it up for us. It's an announcement Mike Lindell made this morning.
Yes, this announcement was made this morning. We were watching, of course, live. As soon as he got done, we went and grabbed the file off our computer for where we're streaming it, and I went and I edited this into the format that it is. Nothing has been edited, what you're going to hear as far as the content, but I wanted to clean it up, what was said before and after, because I knew if we could get this down to 3 or 4 minutes, and it turns out to be 4.5 minutes, if I could get it down short and put it out there at frankspeech.com, I sent it to you, I started sending it to all the media people I know, telling them to download it, sending it to people at Dropbox, because I felt this 4.5 minutes is what should be going viral. So this is the 4.5 minutes. It's not edited as far as this is a continuous flow of 4.5 minutes. All I did is made sure that there was nothing before or after that was extra that didn't need to be done so that media people could use it and use it immediately. And the American people's in their attention span, about 4.5 minutes, would take this and watch it. And this is it.
Okay, here it goes, folks. This from the Cyber Symposium this very morning.
Last night, I'm going to just start with the list of things that happened. So at 10:30 last night, Tina Peters, another guy with her that's here, his house got raided, 4 children, and his house got everything taken, all electronics and everything. Last night when I got to the hotel, I was attacked. And Phil here, we're going to talk about where we're going today in light of this. So Colonel, go ahead.
So in addition to the red team, we started receiving credible threat warnings about 2 weeks ago. So we've had a close team. Close team is what we call somebody's working in the crowd and detecting threats. So we detected disruptors inside trying to get people ejected, really, really radical folks outside trying to penetrate. We've got folks exchanging badges in the parking lot, press badges specifically. We've identified those agitators and provocateurs by photo imagery, validated their social media platforms. We've got attempts to take your personal information by some of these folks shoulder surfing. So if you're on your cell phone or your laptop, they're coming behind you and taking imagery, taking pictures. The big end game is to discredit all the legislators who have had the courage to be here to listen, to try to hear what was presented. They're obviously trying to subdue the message that Mike's trying to get out. So this is a typical insurrection type activities. This is part of the color revolution. I've been briefing about this since early last summer, last spring, what was happening to our country, and it's made to divide America. And again, the whole point of this conference is to unite America. This is to unite the American people. And we made the conscious effort not to eject those people. Because we want to, whatever their platform is, we want to get the message out. So we know who you are. We've got your photos. And, you know, whatever happens after the fact, that'll be up to the Lindell organization. We also received credible information on a threat in the data streams. There was a supposedly, allegedly, credible threat that there was a poison pill inserted into the data. And all of you cyber guys for sure know about the AT&T 911 issue. Someone disseminated his buddies uploaded the data, and they were warmly received, just like the gentleman last night. All their electronic devices were seized, and had we disseminated that without parsing that and finding that before it sent out, it could have put a lot of people at risk, and mostly the credibility of this. So this information is being handled in accordance with the Cybersecurity Act of 2015. This is an executive order by the President of the United States, number 13636, 78 Federal Regulation 11739, the U.S. Cybersecurity Act of 2015, and PPD 21. There's several other executive orders. This information will be turned into the NCIC. This information will be shared with the global directors and officers of the Information Sharing and Analysis Organization, who are authorized to receive this information to process cyber threat information on behalf of the U.S. government and the U.S. people. So that's how this information is going to be handled. And the federal organizations who are charged to protect this country, we'll see what they do with it.
Thank you. In other words, I'm giving this to the team, that data.
Okay, Mike Lindell there. We've got the U.S. Army Colonel Phil Waldron, retired. Brandon, he called this typical insurrection.
Yeah, this is the color revolution kind of thing. Color revolution, for those who may not know, it's the kind of thing that our government has carried out overseas. Maybe in the past, say when the CIA was run by good guys, by the white hats, they would go over to countries that are about to be taken over by communists, and they would get involved and make sure that that guy didn't win, because we don't want the communists taking over countries that are our allies or countries that are close to us, as we're now seeing, obviously, with Venezuela, Canada, you know, South America, Central America. So our CIA and the white hat guys, going back, you know, decades, would go in and carry out a color revolution. They would do whatever they could to make sure the right guy that was best for America and freedom and anti-communism would win. Somewhere along the way, the white hats have been outnumbered and the black hats and the CIA have taken over. But how do you have that happen? Well, you put a guy into power like John Brennan, who admitted that he voted for communist presidential candidate Gus Hall, and yet he still becomes the CIA director. You have the FBI director, James Comey, who said, I was a communist once. I don't want to know what I am now. Well, maybe it's because he's a fascist now instead of a communist. Or him tweeting out as Reinhold Niebuhr from his Twitter, Reinhold Niebuhr being a Marxist, theological Marxist, a religious Marxist, Reinhold Niebuhr. So when you have that kind of guy as your FBI director, and then you have this John Brennan as your CIA director, you now can use those communists in these agencies and these fascists, these globalists, to color, carry out that color revolution in America. Whereas they didn't want someone who is pro-America, anti-communist, anti-globalist, being elected, anti-communist, being a, whereas in the past they did not want a pro-communist, pro-globalist, anti-American being elected in a country that could impact us. Now they flip the narrative and the deep state does the color revolution inside our country to make sure we can't maintain a president that is anti-communist, anti-capitalist, and against the deep state, which the deep state is the fifth column, it is the globalist, it is the Marxist. So a color revolution has been done by our intelligence agencies overseas when we were good guys preserving liberty. Then the deep state gets to able to take over these agencies, and they carry out a color revolution in America to make sure their people get into office that are anti-American, anti-Christian, anti-Constitution, anti-Judeo-Christian worldview, anti-liberty.
Hence the attack to stop this information from getting out there. Brandon House is live on the scene. That you're hearing background noise. This symposium is live as we speak. Brandon, I know news media all over and others have been saying, well, these voting machines were not hacked because they were not hooked up to the Internet. I just saw on WAOW-TV, ran a story yesterday, Clark County, that's Clark County, Wisconsin, officials refute Mike Lindell's claims about hacked ballot machines. This is where the clerk says what Lindell is claiming just is not possible. Ballot machines are not connected to the Internet, and that means they can't be hacked. Mentioned in rural areas, they have to fax these things in. I've seen this over and over, claims made all over the country about this. Machines are not connected to the Internet.
We have their own documents. We have the own documents of the voting machine companies talking about how to connect the machines to the Internet. We know that some of these machines have the interface in them that allows them to transport data and to receive data. So this is overwhelmingly a bold-faced lie. I mean, this is the big lie again. And we have actually demonstration and footage that we did yesterday, 7 minutes long, of this being done here. They set this up and used the exact same equipment, exact same machines, and I went in and voted as to who was the worst company, Twitter or Facebook. And I voted that it was Facebook, and then they took my vote, and they showed me how they took it. They scanned it, you know, after I marked it with the black pen, and they showed us flipping the vote. Not only did they flip the vote, at one point they actually showed me how they took my one vote and made it five votes, the exact opposite.
And folks, we're going to come back to this in just a moment. We also will be taking your phone calls here today. Brandon House, live at the Cyber Symposium in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Formulate your questions so you can get right to the point. We'll be opening phone lines here in just a moment. Stay with us. You're listening to Crosstalk.
Attacks continue against the Bible. Some accuse the Bible of not being historically accurate. Some insist it's a book written by man filled with error. But did you know that archaeology continues to confirm what's written in Scripture? In the fully illustrated hardcover book, Evidence for the Bible, you are introduced to the world of biblical archaeology. Using full-color pictures and an easily read format, you will see that what has been dug up from the earth confirms the places and events from Scripture. Rulers and kings are documented,
battles and their outcomes are confirmed, and details of prophetic utterances are precisely what are known to have happened. This book takes you on a fascinating journey during which the traveler never knows what may turn up with the next trial. It's hard to put this book down as one captivating page leads to another. Evidence for the Bible is available for a donation of $30. Call VCY America at 1-800-729-9829. 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. With us today, Brandon House, president of WVW Broadcast Network and host of Worldview Weekend Radio and Worldview Weekend Hour Television. He's produced numerous documentaries, written books, etc. He is live right now at the Cyber Symposium in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Brandon, I understand this demonstration of vote flipping that you mentioned yesterday, 7 minutes long, I believe you've captured it there, but just really another eye-opener, shocking to see how this was done, not only to take that vote and flip it, but to multiply it.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's the same equipment being used in your local elections, most of you, where you fill in your little ballot, if that's what you do, scan it. And so they had a whole room set up where you could go vote and then watch what happens to your vote. And I went in there and filmed it for 7 minutes. I gave the microphone to the two guys running it. They scribed. They said, here's your ballot. And Mr. House, now vote. And I voted. Now watch. We're going to scan your ballot. And now here's your ballot. Now it's been scanned. Now it showed up in this computer. Here's your vote right here in the computer. Is that your vote? Yeah, that's my vote. Is that how you voted? Yeah, that's how I voted. Now watch what we're going to do. And they had the packet capture, and we saw the data being transferred and all this computer jargon and gibberish running. And then next thing you know, they're like, is this your vote? Is that how you voted? No. They had me voting 5 times. And so while I was paying attention to the computer screen, then they went back over to where the scanner and said, is this your vote right here? And it wasn't just my one vote. It was now 5 or 6 ballots that they had managed to slip in, and I was standing 2 or 3 feet away. So if they can slip in 2 or 3 ballots, 5 or 6 ballots now versus one, while I'm standing 3 feet away and didn't notice because my attention was on the computer monitors they were showing me, what is the average person sitting at home, 4, 5, 6, 7 hours later, what's happening with their vote? What's happening with their ballots? So it's 7 minutes, and we're going to be releasing that. I just asked the guys behind me to grab that footage from yesterday that I filmed and put it up at frankspeech.com, and we'll be releasing that this afternoon at frankspeech.com.
Okay, frankspeech.com. And Brandon, also, it's really important for people to watch the Waldron video there, your wake-up call. I mean, that is really an overview of all that's going on here.
We also may this afternoon, I stress may, we may have a presentation that I saw from someone yesterday. And I have not validated it. I'm not a cyber guy, but a cyber guy who's here to look at the data showed me on his computer, and we filmed it, that he, as an independent cyber guy here looking at his data, believes that if the packet captures that he was looking at, the data he was looking at is to be verified, that he even says, it looks like there was an election office in May of 2021, and it looks as though the computer data shows me that information was being transported overseas, and he named the countries.
My.
And he said there's no reason at all that that information should ever leave the United States of America. Now, again, we have to verify what he's reporting to us. I'm not a cyber guy. I'm just telling you what one of the cyber guys showed us. I filmed it. I filmed his computer. I filmed his information. Shram Hadian was standing there watching it. And so, again, there's a lot of data that's been collected here, a lot of information, a lot of stories. And some of them, again, need to be validated.
Brandon House with us here today. Folks, if you'd like to get online here, the number 800-733-9829. We don't have time for a long speech from you, but if you have a question or a statement you'd like to make, 800-733-9829. Brandon, before we go to the calls, though, what's happening in Mesa, Arizona?
Well, that was it. That was that information come out of Mesa. It looked like it was being sent overseas.
Very good. Okay, appreciate that report. Our number here to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. And the website, frankspeech.com, I believe they can watch the live stream there as well?
Oh, yes, absolutely. The live stream can go, and I don't know if we're going to go to 7 or 9 tonight. It's not yet been determined. What does the board say? You know, Sharam? Sharam will go look at the board. The whiteboard's constantly changing here backstage.
Okay, we're going to begin in Greenfield, Wisconsin. James, you're on the air.
Yes, sir. The election for Scott Walker, I think it was in 2016, they sent Eric Holder to Milwaukee to help with the election, and it was the same thing. It was stolen, and lo and behold, Scott Walker lost by 1%.
That 2020 election. The 2018 election.
Yeah, yeah, and that was stolen too. And is there any way they can check that one out,
Brandon? This is another one of those situations where Scott Walker, people went to bed at night. He was leading, and things were looking like he was going to have victory in Wisconsin. To wake up the next morning, and all of a sudden, this batch of votes suddenly appeared.
Well, again, did they do a forensic audit? Did they go in and then match up every audit with every envelope that's signed, if that's how they're voting in that area? Or did they go and look at the pictures? They're supposed to take a picture of every vote. Even when you go to a machine, some of you don't vote on ballots. You don't circle it in and then scan it into machines. Some of you do, some of you don't. Those of you like me, where I go vote, I actually am just pushing it onto a computer screen, like a flat screen, like an iPad, right? I'm voting. But a picture is to be taken of all of that and preserved for 22 months. So did they do a legitimate full forensic audit? A lot of times the so-called officials will say, oh, we did an audit. Well, they didn't do a full forensic audit and match everything up with the pictures and everything to verify things. And then are those logs still there? Just as in Antrim County, we know that logs were deleted, just as we now are hearing from the county clerk out of Colorado who came here and testified. They came in, and she says now they've deleted the logs off her computer. Supposedly maybe a white hat hacker, I don't know who, was able to show her computer before and after to verify this from the stage the other day, which would be in the replay. So they're deleting logs. So the question to the answer to the caller would be, has this information been preserved to be able to go back and even do a legitimate audit?
We've got Kay calling from Fort Myers, Florida, North Fort Myers, and Kay, you're on the air.
Thank you. I appreciate the program, and I and most thinking Americans believe everything you're saying. I want to know if you think we could ever have a fair election again under the circumstances.
Not if we don't get rid of the machines. If we
don't
How
get do we ri- do that?
Well, this, of course, is going to be making sure that your election stays under the control of your state government and your Secretary of State. Now, if they go to something like HR1 and they start to federalize our elections, look, they want to federalize everything. They want to federalize our elections. They want to federalize our food. The Rockefellers are already out there talking with their Reset the Table plan to re-federalize our entire food system. I mean, you go read the Communist Manifesto and you tell me what they have not accomplished in the 10 planks. But if they federalize your elections, your banking, your food, your hospitalization, your insurance.
Police.
Oh, they want to do that. And then they would put them under UN federalize the police and then have them complying with UN standards. This has already been documented by Alex Newman and others. So you got to make sure your Secretary of State stays in charge of your election. But to do that, you got to make sure your vote for Secretary of State is not stolen. So we're in a real catch-21 here.
Well, thank you, Kay. Let's go to Dan next. Dan, you're on the air.
Yeah, my question is after you gather all this evidence that these elections have been fraudulent, now you turn it over to the government, what's to stop them from deleting all this or not even doing anything with it? You know, it's... I guess that's my question.
Well, of course, we would have Mike would have backups of everything, and his team would have backups of everything, so there would be that. But as far as deleting stuff, well, that's what we're already seeing, as we mentioned, Antrim County voting logs and things being gone. The claim now by the county clerk that was here testifying from the platform, logs being deleted. So this again is what corporate fascism looks like when you have big voting companies in a partnership with the government, and of course, then you have the government officials. And this also happens to be Republicans and Democrats. This voter fraud is not bipartisan. It is bipartisan, I should say. The voter fraud is done by both people, both parties, unfortunately, bad actors in the Republican Party, too. And when you're signing $107 million contracts with one voting company in one state, and you have a Republican shoving it through, you know, you have to watch for kickbacks, payoffs, deals. So, again, the heart of men is increasingly evil, and so you have to be careful. This is not an issue where, oh, this is all the Democrats. No, there's some bad actors on the Republican side, too, believe you me.
Thank you, Dan. We're going to Barry next. South Milwaukee, you're in the air, Barry.
Hi, yes, gentlemen. God bless, and let's pray heavily for Mike Lindell. You guys are over the target, Brandon. I talked to you in the past about some national talkers blowing you guys off just yesterday. Jim, as a matter of fact, one of the local talkers here, I won't mention his name, but you would know him, called Mike Lindell a crackpot. And so, you know, you even have some of the conservative media against us. And again, just heavy prayer for everyone. We're over the target, and we got to keep on.
Thank you, Barry.
That's all I have. Thank you.
And, yeah, that's, that, you know, believe that everything that's going on is just Looney Tunes, but boy, Brandon, there's great effort to stop this message from getting out there.
Well, and do you think these state legislators would have stayed here for 3 days? I mean, they've been 12-hour days. Do you think they would have sat here for 3 days if this was Looney Tunes? They would have looked at this and said, I'm out. And I'm, you know, within a few hours, I'm out. Or certainly after the first day, I'm out. No, they've stayed. The Senate Majority Whip, Senator Borelli, Sonny Borelli, Senate Majority Whip of Arizona, here, staying, presenting, speaking. And I could go on and on. I was on the platform last night hosting because Mike had to go deal with some of this stuff. So he's like, go up there and handle this, will you? And so I ran up there and did, and didn't do much, didn't say much, because that wasn't what would need to be done. What I was doing is just sitting there waiting for these state legislators to line up. And boy, did they line up. And if people watched, it was one state after another. And these state representatives were going to the microphone talking about what they've learned, what they've seen firsthand, what they're an eyewitness to, what they're taking back to their state. I mean, why would they put their name and face and reputation on national television if this was all wrong? So let's say someone presents a case, all right, and you have a lot of people presenting, a lot of experts. What if just 90% of it's true? Are we in big trouble? You bet it is. So let them pick out one or two things that they want to try to discredit. And I'm not saying they could find anything yet. But even if they can find one or two things, you're going to pick apart one or two things when you could validate 90% of the voter fraud information presented, and you want to scream about 10%? How about being happy that the 90% was found? And this is the kind of thing that goes on. They look for one or two things that that maybe shouldn't have been presented, or one or two things that have not been vetted or verified, or one or two things that were proposed as a theory. Again, a lot of people say, well, we think, but we have to verify. Well, they said it clearly. We think, we need to vet it. Well, then they use that as though we said that's the gospel truth to discredit 99.9% of the information. People have to understand the outright lies. We're waiting to hear now if the Washington Times is going to pull an article they published last night that we're being told was absolutely fabricated. That's what we're being told. If that turns out to be true, another example. You can hardly believe what you read anymore. People having quotes attributed to them they never said. And then they're taking things out of private conversations, overhearing conversations, and attributing it as though they interviewed people. This kind of thing is going on. I've had it done to me in the last 2 weeks.
Let's go to Star next in Muscadet. You're on the air.
Hi, I just want to say thank you for what all you guys are doing. I mean, this is so important to our USA and our freedom. And I want to say God bless. And, you know, there's that saying, what are they afraid of if it isn't fake? Why don't they just turn everything over to you and not fight against it?
Yeah, that's the very point he was making. Thank you, Star. Laura, in Watertown, South Dakota, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi, thank you. I have a little bit of history and a question at the end. I have been amazed at how South Dakota has been, you know, how the federal government has an invisible government deep state. So does South Dakota. For instance, there's two great big names that every South Dakotan would know listening.
Tell you what, let me have you go right to your question. I'm almost to the break here.
Has Mike Rounds, John Thune, or Dusty Johnson been at that symposium you're having, Brandon?
I have not seen any of those people.
Hmm. Thank you for that call from South Dakota.
But we have had state representatives here, including one of the state reps that was in the room here in South Dakota when the gunman came into our conference when Sharam and I were speaking. He's here.
Yeah. Yeah, and you've had your share of excitement there in Sioux Falls.
I never thought I'd come back, to be honest.
Laura, thank you for the call. We're going to take a break. We'll come back to more of your calls. Brandon House live from the Cyber Symposium.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website's worldviewreport.com. I'm giving you this commentary today from Sioux Falls, South Dakota, at the Cyber Symposium that is being held to see about what went on with our 2020 election. Elections are one of the most important things that we do in America. many people died to maintain our freedoms to vote and to have a representative form of government, a constitutional republic. That means we give our authority to an elected official to represent us. They hold our authority as the people in trust to do the will of the people as bound by the United States Constitution and particularly our constitutional republic that our framers said was based on the law of the divine. If we get away from free and fair elections, you have no free society. Where you have freedom of religion, you have freedom of economics, and you have freedom of speech. Take any of those away, and you live in a totalitarian state. Freedom of our election is at the core of a constitutional republic.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America, discussing the Cyber Symposium underway as we speak. Sioux Falls, South Dakota, Brandon House is on site. Taking your calls here on Crosstalk. We're going to Salem, West Virginia, and we have Earl calling. Earl, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hi there.
I want to talk about 6 years ago when they started, Donald Trump said he's going to run for president. They set out to get him any way they could. They tried to impeach him about 3 times, I believe, and it failed. And one of them says, we'll never get him that way. We're going to have to knock the bottom out of the economy. About the time they said that, Jesus Christ told me, he said, they're headed for one world government.
Well, that's something that we've been told from the United Nations for a long time, Earl. And the one world government, one world monetary system, a one world religion as well. Everything is spearheading to that. And you know what, Earl, if you read the book of Revelation, you're going to find that there as well.
Yeah.
Thank you for the call. But indeed, Brandon, we've seen this, and one would see the huge campaign rallies that Donald Trump had, and Joe Biden would get, you know, a handful of individuals sitting in these round circles. And the constantly calling of a lid. I mean, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock in the morning, calling a lid on the day, not going out and campaigning. Anybody with even thinking ability would recognize one has a following here, one does not.
Yeah, there are so many red flags here. When have you ever seen the House of Representatives with a certain party win all these seats or maintain all these seats, win, pick up, and maintain seats, and yet the person with the party at the top of the ticket loses? I mean, there are so many things, and there's a list of people who have made these lists that are verified. It all screams voter fraud. By the way, I want to mention State Representative from South Dakota, Steve Haygard. He's the one that's here. He came up to me and said hi. He was one of the state reps. There was a state senator, state rep in the room the night that Shram and I were speaking, and the gunman with his Quran came into the room and filmed it on and threatened us. But Steve Haygard from South Dakota is here. There are so many of your reps that are here. How many states represented? I mean, 49. 49 states represented.
Wow. Wow. Okay, let's get to Ron in Sheboygan, Wisconsin. Ron, you're on the air.
Yeah, thank you, Tim and Brandon. There's a lot of Christians out here that are praying for you guys for all that you're doing. But my question is, this woman that had all this important information that she had and all her electronic stuff and everything was raided and stolen. My question is, why wasn't this stuff put under tremendous security, lock and key by somebody that can really be trusted and protect it 24/7 so that nobody could get at it? Because we know how the anime works.
One would wonder if that is not what happened, because we heard Mike mention today that her house and the house of another person she's connected to was raided. So the concern might be that they actually had secured some of these things and backed them up and whatnot. I'm not saying they have, but why are you raiding unless you're looking for information? So, again, some of them may have sought to have backups and things in other places. But, again, white hat hackers may indeed be able to retrieve and maybe already have retrieved some of the stuff, because that's what was presented yesterday on the platform.
Thank you for the call here, Ron. This is a press release, Brandon, that came out from State Representative Timothy Ramtham of 59th Assembly District, State of Wisconsin, and he's giving a cyber symposium update. And here's what he said. He said, present with me today are other Wisconsin officials. I came here with an open mind and intent to listen to and bring back any information that would help Wisconsin achieve closure with its 2020 general election concerns. The event is currently focused on Dominion voting machine specifics in Mesa County, and it mentioned Colorado with evidence of image manipulation and permanently destroys the files. He goes on really to, it's too long to warn, but he talks, it gives a warning not allowing anybody to come in and update files or do maintenance on them, warning that that information may be destroyed.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's, I mean, all of this is shocking. Here's a fake headline, Jim, right now, in a Business Insider. MyPillow CEO Mike Lindell fled the stage at his cyber symposium at the same time news broke that Dominion's billion-dollar defamation lawsuit against him would proceed. And they show a video of him leaving the stage. I'll have to check the timestamp on that, but I'm rather certain that's when I actually called him off stage with information I had just received related to some of the infiltration of this symposium. I was on the platform with him in around the 7 o'clock time slot. I sent over to his phone a text of the article about the judge ruling that their Dominion lawsuit could go forward. He did not know about it until I was on the air with him in the 7 o'clock hour, and I asked him 3 times in front of everyone, are you hearing this for the first time? And he answered each time, yes. And he went through the article about it and talked about it. So that was in the 7 o'clock hour. This supposedly happened, his leaving the States, at the 5:23 hour. That's about the time I went to him and asked him to come off stage to give him some information. So the news is trying to say that when he walked off the stage around 5:23, he was fleeing the stage as the news broke about the judge allowing the billion-dollar lawsuit to go forward. Baloney. Lie. He was on the air with me on the stage at the 7 o'clock hour, and I was the one that texted his phone sitting next to me and said, have you seen this? Because he had asked me to go out there right in front of everyone. Hey, Brandon, why don't you do what we normally do sometimes, collect all the good and bad articles, and let's go through some of them in a few minutes. And we did. I sat there for about 30 minutes at the desk collecting those articles, and then we went through them, and that was one of the first ones he brought up that I had texted him, and he found out about it on the stage. So Business Insider, they are lying.
Warren in Wisconsin, you're on the air. Hello, Warren.
Hello. I got a question for Brandon.
Very quickly.
Yes, I'm retired military, and I voted absentee when I was in Fort Riley and for presidential and governor, gubernatorial both, and I had to prove who I was before that ballot went off. You know, why aren't these absentee ballots, you know, being confirmed?
Yeah, well, we have 74,000, some 74,000 ballots in Antrim County, Maricopa County, Arizona, some 74,000 ballots in that one county alone. They can't verify. They look as though they are fraudulent. So very good point, caller.
Wow, thank you, Warren. We are less than 30 seconds, and I have to apologize to other callers online here. We're not going to get to your calls here this afternoon. Brandon, what do you want to leave with our listeners on this issue?
I would leave that go to frankspeech.com and watch the video of Mike Lindell, the 4.5-minute video, the one, this is your wake-up call with Colonel Waldron. And the headline out of here today is his own retired Colonel Waldron on his cyber team is saying that this symposium was attacked. It was infiltrated.
Wow.
By bad actors.
Brandon, thank you. I know you stayed on the air here an extra hour here from your program, but thank you for informing the Crosstalk listeners as to what's going on and really what's at stake.
Thank you, Jim, for your concern.
Brandon House here from Worldview Weekend and providing the technical services there as a production company for the Cyber Symposium. Thanks so much for joining us here today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.